This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. اليوم 18 من شهر صفر 1445 الموافق لأربعة من شهر سبتمبر 2023. نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. صلى الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped last week, which is the saying of the مؤلف وهي العمود الحامل للفرض والسنة. He's talking about لا إله إلا الله. Because of La ilaha illallah, as he mentioned, the samawat and the earth were able to maintain their position. And everything that you see being intact in this life, it is doing that because of La ilaha illallah. So is the essence of our of the purpose of our life and the reason why we are created, and also the main source and the root for the success of anyone in this life. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana akhira kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." If your last word happened to be la ilaha illallah, you will go to paradise. If your last word is la ilaha illallah, you will go to paradise. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله وروح هذه الكلمة وسرها إفراد الرب إفراد الرب جل ثناؤه وتقدست أسماؤه وتبارك اسمه وتعالى جده ولا إله غيره بالمحبة والإجلال والتعظيم والخوف والرجاء. He says, and the soul of this kalima, this word, I mean the root, the thing that is giving life to this kalima, the value of this kalima is based on, and the secret behind it is based on ifradu rabbi jalla thana'u, making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one and the only one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla thana'u wa taqaddasat asma'uhu, these are praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His names are the most perfect ones, and also the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest one. And also the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far greater than what we can imagine. And there is nobody to be worshipped except Him. This one, Ibn al-Qayyim says, you have to make sure that you make Him one and the only one. Bil muhabbat wal ijla. Bil muhabba means He loves nobody in the way He loves Him. He loves Him. You love Him more than the way you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal ijlal wa ta'azim. And also there is nobody you respect in the way you respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get idea? Yeah. Do we reach this level? Respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anybody else? Yeah, it's very simple. How do I reach this level? To ask myself, you know, in my life, are there, you know, circumstances and situations whereby, you know, I was confronted by you know, the request and the demand to make a decision, either to follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants or to follow my desire. And I choose, you choose, they choose to follow their desire. In our life, do we have this circumstance? If we have this, which I'm pretty sure, there are times which we favor our desire over that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And if this is the case, then we have to question that respect we claim to be having towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what is the meaning of respect if you go against? You get an idea. Even if you say good words, nice words, but whenever there is a command by that person whom you claim to be respecting, you know, you don't follow the command. There's a peak of disrespect in the context of human beings. What do you think if you look at it in the glasses of the Tawheed? How does it work? You say that you respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time you have other preference. better than the one he preferred for you. So your respect is either non-existent, or it is deficient. So he says you have to make sure that you make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the only one in your heart that you love more than anybody else, that you respect more than anybody else, and that you fear more than anybody else. And this is very, very good, you know. This is really, really, really good for us to understand that the fear should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, because if you don't have this, you fear others. And that might lead you to go against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't mind. Whatever is going to happen to you, you know that. Yeah. لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing will happen to us except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us. That's why in the past you see them, you know, subhanAllah, being persecuted by the tyrant, you know, rulers and bad people in the community. But it doesn't shake their iman at all. Yeah, because the only one they fear is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they speak the truth with wisdom. They don't provoke anyone. But you know, the truth is very itchy, you know. In any community, if you're going to speak the truth, no matter how much you try to beautify it, the criminals and those people who hate it might not be happy with this. Yeah, those who hate it, that might not be happy with this. One of the bad rulers in the past, long ago during the time of Abdurrahman bin Abi Zayd, I remember he got into the masjid and people got scared of him. This is wrong. If a ruler is going to be in a place and the community will be in a state of panicking, wallahi, this is not a good ruler. Any ruler, any leader, any king, prime minister, president, minister, governor, that is going to be in a place and the community will be in a state of fear of him, strong fear, that means he is not doing the right thing. Unless if that community is a community of crime. Yeah, they should be scared of him when they see him because he's doing the right thing. But if the community for them, Ya Allah, Hamza, your thing died. Okay, it came back. It says, Ya Allah, whoever happened to lead any of the affair of my ummah and he makes life difficult for them, Ya Allah, I ask you to make life difficult for him. So a leader should be somebody who is simple, approachable, but very serious in his leadership. It means people will not go against the law in his time. But at the same time, he's very approachable. People don't see him and run away. People will be happy when they meet him. And this is the best manhaj actually, even in the time of the politics, right? Because you want to be elected next time, right? And even if this is the last tenure you have, but you want to keep a good legacy. People will remember you in good way. Yeah. So when you do good, people will remember. And when you do good, that will grant you ability if you want to continue, yeah, for you to continue serving the nation. Yeah, so a person should be very careful. You know, leadership is not a joke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is monitoring, you know, to see whatever you are doing. So Ibn Abi Zayd, when they came and everyone was scared, people stood up. So he kept on doing whatever he is doing in the masjid. So the bodyguard, they shouted at him. That means this putting the fear of the leader in the heart of everyone is intended. Yeah, that's why they shouted at him. And they shouted at him. They told him, get up. He told them, إِنَّمَا يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He said, no, I thought people stand up for رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Alone. SubhanAllah. That leader, you know, he told them, please leave him, because after hearing this word from him, there was no hair on my body except that hair stood up. out of the fear. And that's why one of the scholars said, "Man ittaqa Allah dana lahu kull shay." If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is going to bow for you. Ibn Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he reached one of the kings of the Mongols. You know, the time of the Tatar, right? The Mongols, when they come to the Muslim territory. You know, those guys, they destroy a lot. In the way some of the Muslim historians used to believe that these are the Yajuj and Majuj. You can understand the level of destruction that these people cause to a community. They never come to a place and let that place remain in peace. Every place they reach, that's when death is going to visit the place. And they usually take a city to the ground. So unfortunately, including our biggest city, this is the Baghdad, the capital city of the Muslim community. You know, this is the best support that every other, you know, province has. What happened to Baghdad? We are told that almost 2 million people died during that battle, and all from the Muslim side. They destroyed Baghdad, you know, and then now what left for them? Egypt. Which one is bigger? Baghdad. That was the capital city of the Muslims. So now the only thing that is, you know, hindering their success is Egypt. So they send a letter to the leader of the Egypt at that time, Qutus. SubhanAllah, they couldn't get that good reply they were expecting to get. Because the letter just contained a very simple word: just submit the city. Avoid getting into trouble. And we have leaders who know what they're doing. Although they are small in size in comparison to Baghdad, they are small in terms of army in comparison to Baghdad, but subhanAllah, they stand firmly. And they said, between us and you is the battlefield. They don't care about what happened to the rest, but we are still going to try. And this is Muslim. We are still good. We will never submit. And subhanAllah, they went out. You know, they have been destroying every place. But do you know that atrocity against the Muslim community was stopped by the effort made by those brothers in Egypt? Ma'arakat Ayn Jalut. There's a battle of Ayn Jalut. They stopped the movement of the Mongols. And that's it. SubhanAllah. So these are the Mongols. I just want you to understand who these wuhush are. Which means wild animals at that time. SubhanAllah, after that battle, and then many of them converted to Islam, and the balance of them established the Ottoman Empire. SubhanAllah, they did what they did, and they also come and do the good thing for the Muslim community. There was a time when they were doing that atrocity against the Muslim community. Sheikh Islam and Taymiyyah decided to go and give them nasiha. Because the king, their leader, says he's a Muslim. He says he's a Muslim, but he's doing what his predecessors did not do. So Ashahid, the student tried their best to convince him not to go. And he refused. He said he has to go. He reached the king. You know, subhanAllah. Some of them managed to go with him, you know. And he reached. They did not know how did they manage to get into the palace. Because it's highly protected, you know. But subhanAllah, that support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he went and they mentioned that he came very close to the king and nobody was able to tell him anything. And then he talked to him, kalam, a speech that is so harsh. You know, one of the things they said, he mentioned to him, he said, "You're claiming to be Muslim. But what you're doing to the Muslim community, even your grandfather or your father who did not claim to be a Muslim did not do. What Islam do you have?" And he's telling him all of these things. You know, you see pictures of your predecessors in your palace. You know, these are already gone. You're also going to be the next. They said sometimes when he said a word, people, his students will be putting their head down out of the fear that at any time after this word that Sheikh Islam is saying, his head will fly. But subhanAllah, he finished his statement and the king was just watching him. He told him, "What do you want?" He told him, "I want you to release the Muslims that you captured." He said, "You have what you want." And he gave him that. يعني اتق الله دانا له كل شيء. Nothing happened to him. They even mentioned that on the way back, his students who followed him, they told him, Sheikh, we really don't believe that this happened. We still believe that we are in a dream. You talking to Hulako or whoever the king was in this way and nothing happens to you? They said, no, this is not real. And as such, we are afraid of an ambush being planned against you when you're going back. Please, Sheikh, if you don't mind, we will use another way. You can use the way you want to use, but we will use another way because we are afraid of who is going to stop you on the way. And subhanAllah, they mentioned that he used his normal way and reached home peacefully, safely, and nothing happens to him. They used another way. They were stopped by the thieves on the way. They got into trouble and he did not get. So this is not to say that a person should be arrogant, but this is natural. When you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody can be on top of you. The key to succeed and to, you know, have a full protection is to have your fear only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be able to do the right thing in this dunya. Not to disrespect others, especially the leaders, but you fear only Allah. And part of the fearing of Allah is to obey the law in the city. Who asked you to obey the law? Allah Rabbul Alameen. You cannot tell me that you fear Allah and you're disrespecting the law in the country. The only law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you not to follow, he did not say fight it, but he said you don't do it if that law is going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And usually these laws, they are not imposed on everyone. Just stay away from it. But don't fight or protest or demonstrate against your leader, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So, يَكُونُ خَوْفُكَ لِلَّهِ. He says your fear has to be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وَالرَّجَعَ. And you hope nobody except Allah. And this is really, really, really important. You have the fear and you have the hope. You're optimistic all the time that inshallah, through your act of worship, you will get the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَوَابِعَ ذَلِكَ. And whatever follows that. And we have, you know, subhanAllah, in our life, so many issues that are arising from time to time, which the reason why they are bothering us, it is because we have weakness in terms of, you know, the application of these elements mentioned by Ibn Qayyim. الخوف والرجاء and the attachment, you know, to those الخوف والرجاء. Like what? التوكل. What is التوكل? Using the asbab and depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. Wallah, very interesting life. Don't be lazy. Go out and look for what benefits you. But have a full tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not support, I will not get it. And if He supports me, I will never lose it. Yeah, I love this belief. I love this kind of belief. It's really interesting because you relax, you know that your life is not governed by anyone. So just keep moving and hope good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't worry about others. You know, you have some of those people who don't like you, don't like your method. They were there planning for your failure, trying to see, you know, and to use any possible way to make sure that they block you from succeeding. Should you worry about these guys? No. Allah should pity them. Yeah, because they are trying to fight who? The qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, if I come and say, no, I must do everything possible that Qayyum will never succeed. Who am I fighting? Qadr. Because if the qadr says he has to reach that success, Allah, nobody can stop it. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ لَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. Please listen to this, my dear brothers and sisters. It's a very good news for every one of us that you shouldn't worry about anyone. Just worry about your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's it. He says, if the ummah, the jinn and the ins, from the first one until the last one, you can include everyone actually. angels, animals, jinns, and everyone, if they are together in a place with the intention of harming you or benefiting you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he should know they will never benefit or harm except if that is written for or against you. They can only reach you if it is there. That means you shouldn't worry, because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written has to come. And if it is not written, no matter how much they try to do it, it will never come. So why are we afraid of others and their plots? And one of the, just to share with you some secret, one of the things that I found good in life, and it helps you to always be at ease, wallahi, is not to let any human beings exist in your heart. This is really good. Not to let any human being to exist in your heart. In the sense that you were thinking of what is he planning to do? What is he thinking of doing? Maybe he's doing this and that. No. You will never succeed. And you will always worry. You will be depressed. And sometimes, subhanAllah, they are not doing anything. But you are there wasting your time, you know, destroying your heart, you know, because of thinking of something which did not even exist. And even if it does exist that those people are planning against you, you should always remember that they cannot do anything which is not written. And what is written, can you avoid it? No. لَا يُسِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing will happen to us except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us. هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our mawla, our protector, the one who cares for us. He's the only one who cares for everyone. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for you to understand that this is a matter that has already been finished. Nobody can change it. Oh, maybe it has changed. No, it will not change. This issue that I have just mentioned, that nobody can benefit you or harm you unless if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it happen. So that means you should fear who? Allah. So this statement has not been changed and it will never change, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rufi'at al-aqlamu wa jaffat al-suhuf." It's the pen that wrote this fact, you know, is already dry, lifted from the book. You know, that's mean it finished. وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. Those ink that wrote that statement, they already get dried. That's mean there will be no deletion. You know, it will not be deleted. So put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we get scared of jinn? Yes. What else we get scared of? Magicians, you know, bad people and all of these things. No, take precautions as much as you can. As much as you can, take precaution. It's part of the tawakkul for you to take precaution. Do the adhkar mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to protect yourself. And also, don't put yourself into trouble saying that, yeah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, he will protect me. No, Allah doesn't want you to do that. Take precautionary measures, you know, to make sure that evil doesn't reach you. But after that, put your trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bi'idhnillah will not come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning Musa alayhi salam, when the magician came with their ropes, right? They put it to the ground and they turned into snakes. The scholar said, imtala'at al-ardu tha'abi. The earth was full of snakes. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. Musa was scared a bit, because imagine you just see snakes everywhere. You know, snakes naturally are scary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. We told him, don't be scared. You're on top of all of them. وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُ. Just throw that which is in your hand. It will swallow whatever they brought. Allah says, إِنَّمَا صَنَعُ كَيْدُ سَاحِرُ وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. SubhanAllah. He says what they're doing is a plot by a magician. And naturally, there is no way for a magician to succeed. One of the most humiliated entities in the societies, in any place, they are the magicians. If you know what is there between them and the shayateen that are supporting them, SubhanAllah, you will pity them actually. You know that some of them have to go and sleep in the garbage place. Yeah, that's what the shaitan wants. The peak of humiliation. And there is no way for them to support them unless if the iman is gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from every dimension they're coming, they will never succeed. So put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be scared of anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, take precautions, right? Don't put yourself into trouble saying that I tawakkal to Allah, you know. No, Allah doesn't want you to do that. You have to make effort and make sure that you're using the asbab and depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see always good. Tawakkul wal inaba. And you must make sure that you always go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. Whatever you need, you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the place where you will get it with no restriction and no man. Yeah, I gave him one day, and tomorrow when he comes, I tell, yeah, yesterday I gave you. I thought that was enough. Why are you coming today? Allah doesn't tell us this. Yesterday I gave you. You know, just now I gave you. Allah doesn't do that. Whenever you ask, he give. If you ask again, he give. If you ask again, he give. Good idea. So why do you need to disrespect yourself going to others? Is that clear, inshallah? Wal inaba, going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance and in all of your affairs. Wal raghba, and having the strong hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything you do. Yeah. And just believe that whatever you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, don't get annoyed and don't get attitude. Don't hang around one thing just because you lost it and your life is miserable. You know, we still have this type of behaviors. Although we are students of knowledge, we learn. But subhanAllah, when the reality comes, we crumble a lot. You know, we disappoint ourselves. Yeah, I'm looking for something and I lost it. Dunya turns upside down. I want a job, I lost the job. What happens? I worry so much. Wallahi, there are some people, if you see them, they become very sensitive because they lost their job and they're looking for another job they couldn't get. They became very sensitive to everyone around them. What kind of iman is this? What kind of iman is this? And who told you that when you lose that one, you will not get another one? How many times a person lost a job and get the best, the better one, and he was happy that he did not get the first one? A lot. You don't know. So put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's it. Put every effort to get what benefits you, but if you couldn't get it, don't worry. Keep moving. That's the life of a believer. You try to get admitted in a university and they rejected you. So what? Apply it to somebody else, you know. That's how it is. So what? You lost your business. So what? Don't get attitude against people. Just relax and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him to replace it with the best. Would he do that? Yes, he said if you ask. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said if you say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you a replacement, he will. You want to marry a sister, you lost her, and then you get attitude. But do brothers do this? I hear a lot of sisters they lost, and a few years ago also there was a sister who committed suicide or attempted to commit suicide because the boyfriend, even if it is in the good way, is okay, but this one I think is in the wrong way. But still, when he decided not to continue with that relationship, she committed suicide or about to commit suicide, and people got her. Yeah, they have phrases also to address that matter. And what exactly is going on in this life? You know, that person, I don't know, is he the Khalifa? Or he, wallah, why would this person, or else I will just go and take up my life? Who deserves you sacrificing your life for his sake? Nobody, except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even your parent, yes, if that is a threat, you go and face it. You know, you are not just going to kill yourself or submit yourself to be killed so that they can survive. No, you're not allowed to do that. They're allowed to fight back. They're allowed to fight, all of them, to save your life, to save their life. If all of you die, then no problem, it's fine. That's qadr. But you cannot just go and give yourself or somebody just kill you so that somebody else can survive. So that only for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then subhanAllah, just because of a normal person, who does it, who knows what exactly is even doing? He might not be according to what she is thinking. And even if he is, let's say he is the most righteous person that you can ever see on earth, he deserves you destroying your life. And when he said he doesn't want, why you worry? Why you get annoyed? Why you get attitude? Question. Do you know that you might marry that person and get into trouble in the future? Is it possible? She might marry and then their life is not good between them? Yes. Him being a righteous person doesn't mean that his life with her is going to be the good one that she is expecting. Why do you worry and put your life in danger, you know, because of something that you don't know? You Allah, it doesn't make sense. I'm saying this because we still have these type of behaviors and attitudes going around us. Somebody rejects you, somebody apologizes that he doesn't want to continue for marriage with the marriage proposal, and then we worry so much. For what? For what? How many sisters do you have on earth? Okay, let's just stick ourselves to UAE. Then go out of UAE. How many sisters we have in UAE? You or your council? How many? Only 10,000. He said only 10,000. The population, the whole population is around 20,000, I guess. And the vast majority are? Yeah, the sisters. So, yeah, and even if you stop with UI, if you go to Malaysia, how many sisters do you have in Malaysia? How many sisters do you have in the world? And then just because of this one, she said she doesn't want, and then somebody put his life into trouble in the state of stress and depression. Why? You Allah, we have to take this matter seriously because every one of us is involved in this, unfortunately. We say it, but when it comes to the reality, you know, we fall into this trap also. So I really advise us, as a student of knowledge, we have to be very smart in understanding the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should know that the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are a lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there is a divorce, he says, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَتِهِ. The point is not to live a life whereby she is depressed and he is depressed and both of them are oppressing each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if in case, you know, they prefer to go against that marriage, meaning to divorce, because nobody's happy, they're harming each other, they should go for the divorce. If they go for the divorce, Allah says, يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَتِهِ. Allah promised to, you know, suffice each and every one of them from his bounties. Yeah. How many people they divorce? She went and married somebody else and she enjoys life. He went and married another woman and he enjoys life. They're not compatible to each other. Life is very terrible amongst them, you know. And at the end of the day, they get separated and they enjoy life. So therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, please do take this matter seriously when it comes to looking for the dunya, whether this dunya has some connection to the akhirah or it doesn't have. When you lose this dunya, don't worry. The only thing that you should worry when you lose it is the akhirah things. Yeah, you're looking for business, you lost it, look for another one. You're looking for school, you lost it, look for another one. You're looking for a job, you lost it, look for another one. You're looking for a wife, you lost that one that you think she's the best person for you, look for another one. Don't waste your time a single second, wallahi. Don't waste your time a single second thinking about that sister. Just move forward and look for another sister and ask Allah SWT to grant you good and satisfaction in living with her. The same goes to the sister who wants to marry a brother and that brother doesn't want. Just ignore him and move forward. Look for somebody else. But because our life is very shallow and the way we make a choice, you know, and prefer things, you know, is very shallow. That's why we always think that if this one is gone, then we will never get another person which is similar. This is, wallahi, lying to ourselves. Tell me whatever you're looking for in this life. I can assure you in this dunya, bi-izni al-wahid al-ahad, that you can get a better option. Yeah, you're looking for beauty, you can get a better option. You're looking for knowledge, you can get a better option. You're looking for manners, you can get somebody who is better than what you're hanging around. So don't stick to one thing and believe that, yes, this is the only one. If I don't get it, I'll become depressed. You're just wasting your time and lying to yourself. قال والإنابة والرغبة. So you have your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not going to. والرغبة, you know, you have والرغبة والرهبة. رهبة means the fear. Yeah, you have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. فلا يحب سوى. You don't love anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say this, we don't mean that you hate all of the creations. No, that kind of love that is driving you to do, that should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the natural love remain. You love your parents, you love your brothers, siblings, Muslims. This one remains. Okay. وَكُلُّمَا يُحِبُّ غَيْرَهُ كُلُّمَا يُحَبُّ غَيْرَهُ فَإِنَّمَا يُحِبُّ وَكُلُّمَا يُحِبُّ غَيْرَهُ فَإِنَّمَا يُحِبُّ وَكُلَّمَا يُحَبُّ غَيْرُهُ فَإِنَّمَا يُحَبُّ تَبَعًا لِمُحَبَّتِهِ. Anything that somebody loves other than Allah, this should be loved, you know, because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're loving this one because of your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَوْنُهُ وَسِيلَةً إِلَى زِيَادَةِ مُحَبَّتِهِ. And also you're loving this thing because you believe by loving him, you might be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more. قال ولا يخاف سواه. And you don't fear anyone except Allah. ولا يرجو سواه. You don't hope anyone except Allah. ولا يتوكل إلا عليه. You don't depend on anyone except Allah. ولا يرغب إلا إليه. You don't have hope except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا يرهب إلا منه. And you don't run away and be afraid of anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا يحلف إلا بإسمه. And you don't swear using the name of anyone except the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَنْذِرُ إِلَّا لَهُ. You don't promise except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُتَابُ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. You don't repent to anyone except to Allah. You apologize to people, but repentance is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُطَعُ إِلَّا أَمْرَهُ. And you don't obey anyone except the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُحْتَسَبُ ولا يتحسب إلا به. And also you don't seek the protection except the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا يستعان في الشدائد إلا به. And you don't seek the help and the support of anyone in hardship and difficulty except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا يلتجو إلا إليه. You don't run away to anyone except to Allah. Because that's the only protection you have. The most accurate protection you have is the protection you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't have a hope except in Allah, and you don't seek the protection of anyone in the hardship except the protection of Allah, and you don't run away to anyone, you know, seek refuge except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُسْجَدُ إِلَّا لَهُ. And you don't make sujood illa lillahi azza wa jalla. Any kind of bowing that reached the position of the ruku, that bowing is wrong to be done to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the self-defense that we have, you know, we should make sure that we change that bowing. You get it, Hamza? You should tell those people who are doing it last time, please change the salam to, what is wrong with saying salam to the teacher who is teaching? Assalamu alaikum, you know. Shake his hand. Or if your hand is too short, you cannot reach him, you know, just say assalamu alaikum to him. Yeah. But not bowing to him in the way we do it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one is just, yeah, we benefit from the training in this game. You know, we take it from them, that's fine. But other than that, which are part of the religious rituals, this one we have to keep it with them. وَلَا يُسْجَرُ إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَا يُذْبَحُ إِلَّا لَهُ وَبِسْمِهِ. And we don't slaughter anything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also in the name of Allah. That's why whatever is slaughtered in the name of other than Allah, can we eat it? What if a Christian slaughters something in the name of other than Allah? Allah said we can eat their meat, right? But they slaughter, and we are sure that this animal they slaughter and they use the name of other than Allah. Can we eat it? No, we don't eat it. Because if a Muslim is to do that, we don't eat. And for sure, if a kafir is to do that, we also don't eat. So we just do it if they slaughter, we're talking about Christian and the Jew, if they slaughter using the name of Allah, or they don't say anything. But if we know for sure that they are using the name of Isa ibn Maryam or Uzair, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we don't eat it. Just like the way if a Muslim is to slaughter an animal using the name of other than Allah, we don't eat it. And all of these that we have mentioned could be combined in one letter or one word or one sentence, وَهُوَ أَلَّا يُعْبَدَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ بِجَمِيعٍ وَعِبَادَ. So he said, instead of mentioning whatever I have said, you can just say, you must make sure that you don't worship anyone except Allah alone. In any form of ibadah, you must make sure that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you are intending. فَهَذَا هُوَ تَحْقِيقُ شَهَدَةِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He says, this is the tahqiq of shahadat an la ilaha illallah. You know, tahqiq means to fulfill the requirement. How do I confirm that this person fulfilled all the requirement and the conditions of la ilaha illallah? Is when he observed these matters. Don't worship, don't love, don't fear, don't do this and that. All of the things he has mentioned except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Then this is the real person who observed the true meaning of la ilaha illallah. You get it? This is a real person who observed the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. قال ولذلك حرم الله على النار من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله حقيقة الشهادة ومحال أن يدخل النار من تحقق بحقيقة هذه الشهادة وقام بها كما قال تعالى والذين هم بشهادتهم قائمون. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made hell prohibited upon somebody who has the application of La ilaha illallah in his life. The true application of La ilaha illallah. He observed it properly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make hell prohibited upon him. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَدَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ. Allah is talking about those people who will be going to Jannah and will never go to hell. He said, these are the people who are قَائِمُونَ بِشَهَدَاتِهِمْ. They really apply La ilaha illallah truly in their life. فَيَكُونُ قَائِمًا بِشَهَدَتِهِ فِي ظَاهِرِهِ وَبَاطِنِهِ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَقَالَبِهِ فَإِنَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ تَكُونُ شَهَدَتُهُ مَيِّتًا. So this person does what he is supposed to do concerning La ilaha illallah in and out, in secret and in public, you know, truly from the heart. He says this person does whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him to do. And as such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made hell prohibited upon him. فَإِنَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ تَكُونُ شَهَدَتُهُ مَيِّتًا. You have some people, their shahada is dead. Right? Yes, because he says La ilaha illallah, but he is one of the enemies of La ilaha illallah, always doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want. And he says La ilaha illallah. Or the shahada is mayita. He said La ilaha illallah, but always engaging in shirk. The shahada of this person is what? Dead. Shahadatuhu mayita. Wa minhum man takunu na'ima idha nubbihat intabahat. And some of them, you know, some of the people, the shahada is na'ima. Na'ima means sleeping. If somebody tried to wake it up, it will wake up. But always sleep. So these are the people who are weak in the iman. You know, sometimes you tell them, please, Fulan, this is not good for you. Ah, subhanAllah. That was negligence. And inshallah, I will be more careful. And he is really serious in his word, and he changed. That's mean his shahada sleeps. But somebody help him to wake it up. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَكُونُ مُطَّجِعًا. And some of them, the shahada is not sleeping, but just lie down. Every week. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَكُونَ إِلَى الْقِيَامِ أَقْرَبُ. And some of them, their shahada is towards standing up, always upright in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. وَهِيَ فِي الْقَلْبِ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْرُوحِ فِي الْبَدَنِ. So shahada is just like the soul in the body of a person. فَرُوحٌ مَيِّتَ. You have the soul that is dead. There are people who are dead even though they are alive. Yes. People are dead. And there are people who are alive, although they are dead. Because we still remember them. Imam Malik, Abu Hanifa, you know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one. Every day you remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I make salah for him. So some people, their soul is dead. Okay? قال وروح مريضة إلى الموت أقرب. And you have a soul that is sick, which is closer to death. وروح إلى الحياة أقرب. And you have a which is weak, but it's closer to life. وروح صحيحة قائمة بمصالح البدن. And you have the best one, the one that is healthy and always trying to see how to benefit the body that it exists in it. وفي الحديث الصحيح عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم إني لأعلم كلمة لا يقولها عبد عند الموت إلا وجد روحه لها روحا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith that I know a word that nobody will say it while he is about to die except that his soul finds life. You get it? So most likely he's referring to كلمة التوحيد لا إله إلا الله. Because he says nobody will say it in the mouth except that his soul finds life. Yeah. We think he is dead, but he is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alive. فَحَيَاتُ الرُّوحِ بِحَيَاتِ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ So the life of a soul is based on the life of La ilaha illallah. If La ilaha illallah is alive, your soul also will be alive. So that is a little bit to be said concerning this matter. If I continue, we will go beyond the time. So let me stop here for questions, if any. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بارك الله فيكم شيخ. A question by Sophia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. And the first question is it correct to say that whatever the Quran has touched, Allah has honored it, like the Quran was revealed to the Messenger of Allah, so Allah made it the best of prophets, and it was revealed in Ramadan, so Allah made it the best of months?
Even kuffar sometimes touch Quran, you know. We say that's mean they're honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they should just continue with what they are doing. No, it is not because of the revelation of the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best. We're not told that this is the basis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him to be the best of the messengers and the best amongst humankind and the best, the Sayyid, the leader of the human beings. And he did not say that this is given to him because he touches the Quran. The Quran is revealed to him. Yeah, one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Quran is given to us, the most comprehensive and the blessed book. But we shouldn't say that whatever Quran touches, that thing is honored and blessed. It's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to get the Quran and an opportunity being given to a person, but it doesn't mean that person must reflect upon it. He might do it and he might not do it. Yeah, so it is based on how much he applies Quran in his life, then we can confirm the success and the blessings upon him. Otherwise, if he get the Quran and he doesn't use it, where is the blessing in him getting the Quran? You know, it doesn't benefit him. It will never benefit him at all. Allah grant is good.
The second question by Sister Sophia. As per my knowledge, I have understood that medical insurance is haram, but permissible if we are forced to do it, like by law. In this case, is it allowed for us to take advantage of it and paying a higher amount in the insurance to get better services?
The question again?
I understood that medical insurance is haram, but halal if we are forced to do it, for example, by the law. In this case, is it allowed for us to take advantage of it and pay a higher insurance?
Whenever you are forced, you don't have any choice, then you go with the minimum. It has stages, it has level, the lowest one, the highest one. You have to go with the lowest one.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. May Allah grant you khair.
Ameen, you too.
I feel that I am all right at controlling my urges and can control myself for watching indecent stuff. I'm close to being engaged to this sister, but I feel like I should wait and focus on finishing my studies and some work instead. What is the best thing for me to do?
What is the problem he mentioned? Is it about watching indecent things, or
he thinks he can control his urge and
control himself from watching all of those things? So is it better for him to delay marriage or to marry?
No, because he can study and work.
Yeah, as long as you have the ability and it is okay for you, you know, you can support marriage, it is better for you to marry. There is no contradiction between marriage and study at all. As long as you can afford the marriage, you can afford supporting a wife and accommodation, and that's it. It is better for you actually to marry. It fixes your brain more. You will study hard, inshallah. And lack of focus that you are having, marriage can fix it for you. There is a book written by Ibn Qayyim, Zadul Ma'ad fi Hadhihi Khair al-Ibad. He says those people who refuse to marry, you can close your ears. Yeah, unless if there is somebody who is married among you, then open your ears to hear and laugh at the rest. He said, staying for long without marriage can create junoon, insanity in the brain. Who said that? Ibn al-Qayyim. So if you see yourself always getting confused and sometimes, what exactly is going on? Yeah, most likely the remedy is the marriage. So as long as you can afford the marriage, it's better for you to go for it, inshallah. Finish?
Sorry, a question by Sister Murni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh. Ahsanallahu alaykum fi dunya wa
akhirah.
I heard someone said, work hard as if we don't depend on him, depend on Allah, but trust in Allah as if our efforts don't count. Is this statement correct?
We just say that a person should use all the asbab. Don't say as if you don't depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a strong statement. No. You should make sure that your effort is based on the tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single movement of your life, you have the belief that only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, I will get it. But I'm going to put effort towards the achievement of the sabab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put for people to get this. But I know, no matter how much I try, if Allah doesn't want it to happen, it will not happen. So you go with the need, strong need of the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout your journey. Yeah. You shouldn't say work hard as if you don't depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, that's wrong statement. Even you don't intend it, but it's wrong. You deal with others like that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no.
How do we know that we have done enough effort, as effort is a subjective matter? And how do we know that our effort is not an exaggeration?
That should be natural. You know, just use whatever is available. Yeah, you're looking for a job, apply for it. And you need to speak to somebody, speak to that person. As long as you're qualified, speak to that person. You need to go and have an interview, go for the interview. Don't sleep. You need to go and do some training or some things, you know. You know, this job, you cannot get it unless if you go for this training, go for it. Things like that. You know, use all of these natural asbab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in this life, and that's it. Yeah. So a person should know, you know, what he's supposed to do. And just do those ones, yeah. Inshallah.
So, Sheikh, is there such thing as an exaggerated effort?
No, it depends if you are going to go beyond the limit, going against the right you have. Yeah. You know you're not qualified. And then you go and ask some connections to give you the job. That's khiyanatul amana. But other than that, put every effort. Yeah. Even if you're going to stop sleeping, as long as you don't harm yourself, you know, put every effort. There is no exaggeration in this regard. That's it. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen. Thank you. Safe. Okay.